There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Coming up today on the Football Ramble. That allows him to essentially just pass the ball into the goal.
It's a baffling series of events.
I think the smart thing to do, given that it's now got really stale under Roy Hodgson, is kind of hark back to the past, let Roy retire, immediately rehire him.
I couldn't believe it was him.
This is glorious.
Free kick from 50 yards out.
Just another Manic Monday, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Ivan Tony was back with a bang, and Ollie McBurney scored two. It's Monday, 22nd of Jan. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Welcome one and all to a magnificent Monday on the Football Ramble. And it is magnificent, everybody. It's a big day today because today is Sir Ralph Ramsey's birthday.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Born on this day in 1920. And of course, we're all just kind of recovering from the festivities of yesterday when it was Phil Neville and Nicky Butt's birthdays.
I think, yeah. First of all, Phil Neville's done very well to get mentioned in that sentence.
Mm. With Nicky Butt?
No, with Sir Ralph Ramsey.
Okay.
Nicky Butt's caught astray there for no reason. He's done nothing wrong. Right. Absolutely nothing wrong.
I have seen only two of those three, Jim, in the flesh. Can you guess who was the third one?
How was your experience?
How was your grave digging?
Lovely. Pete, you were with me when I saw Fizzer.
You did, yeah.
Uh-huh. And we were handing each other
Fizzer
the binoculars.
It was Fizzer at the quizzer.
It was Fizzer at the quizzer. Nicky Butt in the restaurant, Hotel Football, with his big forearms.
Because you were essentially involved in a pub quiz hosted by Phil Neville, right? Mm.
Yeah. And,
but he didn't really do much, right?
He put his foot in it regularly.
You know. That's a shame. I was thinking maybe that is his level.
Yeah.
He will eventually
a pub quiz.
Sort of level out. But even that apparently is too much.
What's the capital of Brasilia? I mean, Brazil.
Answer to every question was Gary Neville.
Show some fucking respect.
Sorry, what was the question again?
What was the question at the pub quiz? Every question. Sorry, what was the question again?
You're asking them, Phil. Yeah.
Next question is from Phil Neville. Okay. Which pair of famous brothers?
You also have a sister who plays netball. Well, a reminder, everybody, to catch Saturday's Football Ramble, where we asked whether there's really any good stuff on X, because we did get all that from X. We should declare our...
Most of our stuff's from X.
Our homework, yeah. Has social media made football better for fans, was one of the questions we asked. And greatest ever player comebacks, or surprising comebacks, in light of Jordan Henderson returning from Saudi.
Yeah, I don't think Jordan Henderson returning from Saudi is a surprise, but I do take the point.
Right. Also,
so people shouldn't listen to the mail.
They should, to hear how wrong I am.
Right, okay.
Because the sport element of the ramble is to people to tell me I'm wrong all the time.
Okay, well, let's have something that's wrong from you again, Luke Moore. I want your highlight of the weekend.
My highlight of the weekend, I think, and I'm hoping you guys are on board with this and that you noticed it, was actually Jamie Redknapp's coat at the Vitality Stadium.
Okay, right.
It was like a dyed black spacesuit with no helmet.
Right,
it was
typing
massive.
In Jamie Redknapp.
It went all the way around his neck
on X.
with a lot of toggles on it.
Mm. Yes,
space toggles.
And it looked like I can't fully understand how cold it would have been at Bournemouth, because obviously the TV doesn't give you that. It gives you that information, but you can't feel it.
And you live so far away,
and I'm miles away from it. But it felt like it was a very, very big statement. Do you know what it felt like to me? Because, you know, obviously Jamie's from that part of the world, isn't he?
Is he?
I think it was less about him being cold and more about showing fellow Bournemouth residents his affluence.
Fitting in with the locals, maybe. I don't know.
Look how well I've done. Look at my big coat.
It looked like the sort of coat that cost £10,000.
Well, he's actually wearing, I think, a similar coat, or certainly a similar brand, in 2020, because someone on X was slagging off his coat then.
I'm just saying, you know, it was of note.
Presumably, is it the same coat, or did he get like a new coat for every game? That would be affluent.
Prince Charles in his socks.
Jim, you've been to his house.
I have been to his house.
Well, how many coats did he have hanging up?
He didn't show me the full scale of the house.
But I think it's a disgrace that he thinks it's acceptable to hang coats for curtains, though.
Telling me you went to Jamie Redknapp's house, you didn't rummage through his coat.
No, I didn't. No,
I hear
a chance.
Pathetic from you, Jim.
He pushes the coat into the wall for insulation.
There we are.
Yeah, he does.
Peter, your highlight of the weekend.
I mean, there was loads of stuff. I mean, so many things, and then I just saw that video of Nuno Tavares kissing his dog, and so I just
there
kind of have to.
Yeah.
Forrest were at Old Trafford before Christmas, and he had a hit chicken sandwich. Maybe he's thinking, what's next for me? How can I become more powerful, more
kisses
resistant to germs? I'm going to kiss my dog for ages.
Describe the kiss. Was it a full-on Frenchie?
A kiss was not just a kiss.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It went off quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You wanted to describe, Luke put his hand up to stop you.
Luke wanted to stop me from saying the word Frenchie.
It's almost like Marcus with that question has completely forgotten what it's like to broadcast with Pete Donaldson for a second.
Yeah.
So I thought I might need to intervene here.
Well, you did.
I'm a dog lover, but that's not something I've ever.
You're not a dog luster, not a dog snogger.
Exactly. There's dog lovers and then there's dog lovers. Right?
Yeah.
You've got to be very clear about the difference between
those. Very clear. Yeah. Jim.
Play more.
Yeah.
Play more and he wouldn't have so much down to. Give him some time
him?
Off.
He's not doing anything on the pitch. We're keeping him away from his dog.
Right. Jim,
your dog's got ulcers.
I want to hear Jim's highlight of the weekend.
Yeah, we've loaned him out to deal with this situation.
Can I take my dogs? Do what you want.
Yeah, just go.
Yeah. What do you mean by take?
Please, Jim.
So my highlight of the weekend was David Raya in the build-up to Arsenal's third goal, falling over in a sort of Buster Keaton-style way.
Yeah.
Threw the ball so hard, it almost looked like he did a full-on 360-degree flip, although he didn't go 360.
It's a glorious throw.
He landed on his arse. It was a beautifully slapstick falling over in the build-up to a quite good goal as well.
Did Ramsdale clap it?
I don't know. The camera... Well, I was there, so I didn't see if the camera turned to him, which I presume it did.
Right. Ramsdale was right in Arteta's ear at the time. And he was like simulating it with his hand, saying that I don't do that.
I'd have stayed on my feet there, actually.
Yeah. And do you want to hit? Oh, my dad's on the phone. I don't want to hear from your dad again.
No, he wants to give that ball back.
Yeah.
We've told him he can have it.
Yeah.
My highlight of the weekend, and really this is everybody's highlight of the weekend, was quite clearly when Ivan Toney moved the ball for the free kick.
Yeah.
And that's
where
we go now, everybody. Brentford 3, Nottingham Forest 2. It was all about Ivan Toney. The only surprise for me is that he didn't score two more, but he got his goal.
You guys called it on the Friday show saying that he's going to have a big impact and he might have a hat-trick.
It was so obvious. I mean, he had to have a big impact because of that WWE-style welcome he got on his return. The lights of the stadium were out. He was on the big screen and all the rest of it. Like, I mean, if you were other players in the tunnel...
I thought that.
You must have been looking at him going, a bit of pressure on you today.
Well, I also,
although he seems to be immune to pressure, though.
No one cares whether I accept it or not, but for the purposes of this show, I would have accepted it more if it had been like, he's had a really unfortunate injury for a season.
Yeah.
And we're all pleased
to
see him back. Yeah. Of course, we are pleased to see him back, but... We have to understand that, you know...
He was banned for a reason.
Yeah.
I would say if you were the person charged with investigating all of the things that went on and you've spent like weeks on this,
yeah,
watching the Returning Heroes video at the ground, you'd be like, I mean, he was in trouble.
Yeah.
And it's 24 hours after in a build-up interview to his comeback, as you guys mentioned on Friday, he couldn't even say, and even if it's not true, he should have still said, in my view, it's not the time for that now.
Well, I'm talking about a big move.
Yeah. About moving in January.
I mean, he had a transfer request in his socks, apparently. That
he quickly
took that out. Okay, heard the music.
They just stuck by him for 8 months.
I know.
And he could have said, now is the time for me to repay that loyalty. Totally. Maybe we'll talk about it in the summer. I totally agree with what Marcus said on Friday about the best chance of him getting into the Euros, which is underpinning a lot of this, is stat Brentford. You're absolutely spot on, in my view, there. And I just thought it was very, very poor time.
It just makes me think he wants a move, though. And he's just happy.
But even if you want to move, like you've got to play the game. You know, you've got to play the game to a certain extent, I think.
Jim, the music, everything. Did you see it?
I really enjoyed that. I also enjoyed the sort of wonderfully British spectacle of all this really over the top kind of, as you say, WWE style stuff going on, even with the dings from the Undertaker.
Was it actually
music?
Undertaker's music?
I don't think it was, but there were reference dings to it, and then you've got the Forest fans very audibly chanting, "What the fucking hell is this?"
It's for Chris Wood.
Yeah,
Chris Wood thought it was for him.
They could have been shouting that about their own team, to be fair.
Yeah, but the goal he scored. After a lovely goal from Danilo, we shouldn't forget,
peachy.
It was a great game.
It was a good game. It was a very good game. But Tony was always going to score in this game. But he gets the free kick, and obviously, we've all seen it. He moves the ball, and it's not just the moving of the ball. It's picking up the foam, isn't it, and sticking it there.
That's what makes this great.
Yes. Yeah.
It's the moving of the foam.
Yeah. Don't mind it.
Just in case the referee sort of looks around and
goes back and goes,
I'm
quite sure...
Proper subterfuge.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, that really... As Ashley Williams was talking about Match of the Day, that allows him to essentially just pass the ball into the goal. I mean,
Callum Hudson-Odoi also allowed him to pass the ball.
It's exactly right. It's a baffling series of events.
Yeah.
Because first of all, Tony has said, quoted as saying after the game, you have a yard either way, so I just moved it a bit around the corner.
Which is not.
First of all, he's made that up.
Yeah.
He's totally made that up. Secondly, you've got not just Callum Hudson-Odoi, you've got the other members of the wall, you've got any other player on the team, and the referee, who for a large portion of that passage of play, he's staring at it the whole time. Mm. And to me, the fact that it can ever happen is a really weird indictment of what's going on.
Well, I think there was criticism of the Forest players. They should have said something. But actually, when you see him move it, I don't think any of them are watching. Mm. And I think also as well that if he does move it, I think there might be an element of just the sheer gall of it. People thinking, well, surely not. But again, with the Forest players, you must think to yourselves, you know, with Callum Hudson-Odoi, sort of a bit of a half-assed effort.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Ivan Toney. Pretty sure we've heard of him.
Yeah.
The music. They should know the inevitability of that ball going into the net.
Brentford have given them a couple of clues in the build-up to the game that this guy's quite good.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, but they sort of treated it like the wall was rooted to the spot. Well, we can't move.
Nothing we can do about this.
I'm a load-bearing defender. I can't move. The whole thing will collapse.
I don't even think the referee put that form down.
Yeah,
he admitted it like those insects that make cuckoo spit.
They are. But Forest have done what all good football clubs should do now, of course, is submitted a complaint to Pugmal and the Premier League about the incident. This is just getting a bit silly now.
Pugmal's basically like...
they're busy enough.
BBC Radio 1 in the 80s.
Yeah.
Just massive sacks of letters.
Yeah,
people just reading them all.
I want to get Anne Robinson in.
Yeah.
Any fan mail? No.
This one's just a fan letter from Mark Clattenburg. Just forward it on. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, shredders must be warm.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know what they hope to achieve with that. But it's been highlighted enough, I think, in the press for Pugmal to think.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how VAR didn't intervene. Maybe they're. I don't think they're able to. I can't be asked.
It's interesting that everyone's saying, "Oh, it's very clever play because VAR can't intervene." But also, it's like you can't just move the ball, though, can you? No one seems that sure.
Well, I mean, a lot of players do that with a free kick.
You see it in
your own half,
pitch, for sure. Yeah.
But the referees can say, "Oi, back to where it was." Sometimes they might steal a few yards. It depends how sort of consequential it was. I mean, in that one, it's utterly crucial.
I think if your voice is that deep, you can basically just make stuff up and people will go along with it.
Well, I think that's the thing with Tony.
It's the confidence, right?
Yeah, well, again, he's the type of confidence, Tony. And you talk about the music and all that. And again, he won't feel the pressure. He's the type of player who, if indeed he is playing at the Euros and he's on the pitch and it's a crucial game and England get a penalty in the last minute and Harry Kane picks up the ball, I wouldn't put it past Tony to go, "Oh, do you know what, H, I'll have this one."
Yeah,
he's that type of guy, which shows you what Brentford have been missing and the quality that he brings and how crucial he is.
He is absolutely crucial. And I think, you know, it's a good win for Brentford, but they weren't really in control of the game enough. I mean, obviously, they conceded very early, as you talked about. And that's actually the best thing that could have happened to the game for people watching because, you know, Brentford are under pressure to win at home, of course, because of the form they've been in. And also, you know, if it's all about Ivan Toney, then Danilo comes and does that 3 minutes in.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a piss take. So they had to kind of spring into action, which, of course, they did. They've won two of their last 10, I think, and they're having a shitty season. I mean, you know, you guys kind of went into it a bit on Friday, but it's worth pointing out that the season before last, they never went lower than 15th. And last season, they never went lower than 11th at any point in the season.
Which is very impressive.
Yeah. So this is like in uncharted territory for them, really. So Toney coming back in is obviously absolutely massive. And his reputation has grown a little bit due to absence, which does happen in football, I think. But he's an interesting player as well because the confidence thing is a really good point. But also, he's worked his way through the leagues in quite an interesting way. And he's never really found his ceiling. You know, he was tearing it up in the Football League. You know, Peterborough, for example, everyone was talking about. I mean, I remember doing some income about the Football League a number of years ago when Ivan Toney was at Peterborough. And people, you know, people were rating him so highly, saying that if he stays fit all season, that, you know, they have to be favourites for the league because he's such a big goal scorer. Or he has to be favourite for top scorer or whatever. I do think he should stick around and repay their faith
at least
for the rest
till
of the season. 100%. And I think you know, the reason he's so important as well, just to add to this, is that obviously Mbeumo being injured for so long has fucked them a bit. He's not back till March at the earliest, and no one else really scores consistently.
Yeah. I mean, Johan Visser would be.
He's away as well, obviously. Away, yeah.
Neil Maupay's beginning to chip in.
What a goal! Yeah. What a goal!
Marcelo Salas-X.
Like, yeah. Chris Wood and Neil Maupay tearing it up suddenly.
Yeah.
Oh, Maupay's goal was better than Wood's.
Oh, of course it was.
It was a beauty.
Salas-esque, wasn't it?
That was lovely.
Wood has got 4 and 5 under Nuno, though, which is interesting to me.
But I mean, the quality, not the quantity.
But we're talking about Brentford and their attacking play, and Maupay is getting the odd goal here and there. Unusually, though, the replay of his winner was shown on the big screen. And Nuno Espirito Santo and his assistant thought the ball had hit his hand. So
it didn't hit his hand, though. It clearly didn't hit his hand.
There's an angle where it looks.
Does
like
that matter, though?
Well, does it? I mean,
should they write a letter?
Based on what Ivan Toney's done, it doesn't even. Facts don't matter at all. But you can say whatever you want, Nuno. Just because you're the manager of Forest doesn't mean it's true. They showed it from about 48 angles.
Write another letter, you coward.
Is it unusual for the replay to be shown?
No.
I'm just confused.
Was it like several replays? Maybe it was a controversial
zooming
one.
Zooming in on
that. No, I think what he means is they, as a part of the process, they might have shown what an angle from VAR or something, which they never normally do in the stadium. Okay, it's not unusual from the show to have a goal.
Do you remember the New Den, Millwall were playing in the FA Cup and they were showing a replay of a goal which shouldn't have stood? Neil Harris was the manager at the time and was trying to point up to the media people. He was like, get it off the screen!
That's brilliant.
That would be superb, though, like a forerunner.
Throwing a massive jacket over it. Throw Jamie Redknapp's jacket over it.
Referee's like, what's going on there? You don't want to see it.
Throws a rock at it.
Pulling out every wire he can find.
You don't want to see that. No. But a good win for Brentford, though. Toney's back, as we saw. But Forest, though, he's only 4 points above the relegation zone, and with all the financial stuff, you know, it's a bit of a worrying time for them, despite Chris Woods' goals,
which they would like to call it. Oh, just that financial stuff. Don't worry about it. Oh, you mean just a little financial stuff? Letter from the Premier League, subject line. Mm. That little financial stuff.
Overdraft.
Overdraft, question mark.
Let's go to the South Coast, where Jamie Redknapp is apparently from. Bournemouth 0, Liverpool 4. Jurgen Klopp brushed off any title challenge chat post-match.
Yeah.
But Jim Campbell, they're in the mix.
They are absolutely.
I mean, they're 5 points clear.
They are at the top of the mix.
They're floating to the top.
In fact, they're not in the mix. The mix is all below them.
Yeah. It's the cherry on top of the Knickerbocker glory.
Do you think it is?
Yeah.
What a glory. But, I mean, it's funny, isn't it, how Bournemouth played well. It was 0-0 at half time. Yeah. They gave a good account of themselves. Liverpool won 4-0.
Yeah, well, the issue, I suppose, is one of craft, isn't it? We spoke on Friday about how Bournemouth are quite a front footed attacking prospect these days.
Yeah.
But they took the game to Liverpool in to some degree in the first half. It was fairly even, wasn't it? But they couldn't really craft anything.
Do you know why?
Because of value.
Konate was at the back.
Oh my God. Yeah. Him and. So I'll move slightly on to that point.
Sure.
So Conor Bradley
gave a really, really good account
Klopp
of himself.
Klopp was purring about him.
He missed, right a, missed a good chance, didn't he?
He did,
yep. But he's a young kid coming in, hasn't played much. Joe Gomez is a makeshift left back, but because Konate and Virgil van Dijk are like fucking Cerberus guarding that goal,
yeah,
it is just, it doesn't seem to make a difference that they're missing their two yeah. key fullbacks.
But if you get
and,
past...
And they're sort of, you know, second choice left back
if you
well.
Get past them, then you face Alisson.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, also, who look like the Cheetos, man.
It's not
well,
just...
Cheetah.
It's not just when he's paired with Van Dijk, though, is it? Because at the Emirates, yeah. he was with Quansah, wasn't
yeah,
he? And he
brilliant.
Was brilliant then, and they got kept clean sheet 1-2-0.
So commanding.
And I think Gary Neville, or whoever it was, gave him man of the match that day. Mm. So he's really found his pace at Liverpool now, yeah. I think. I thought it was, Marcus, you summed it up pretty well. I thought, yeah, the first half, you thought, okay, Bournemouth are in this. This is actually okay from them. They take that all day long. But I really want to pick up on something Jim said on Friday, which is just that when Vish called it out to be a draw,
yeah.
I was obviously, as a listener, I was like, that seems all wrong because Bournemouth are perfect for mm-hmm. Liverpool because and what I mean by that is they are basically attempting to do mm-hmm. a version of what Liverpool already do, mm-hmm. but they're much worse. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way; they're just not as good.
But as Vish is not here, what else would you like to?
I think he should be ashamed of himself.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely ashamed. Actually, to be fair, though, joking aside, he should be ashamed of himself because the way he conducted himself during the game.
Thank you,
100%.
Yep.
He's going to do nothing but get the Ramble community on his back for that kind of stuff. A contemptuous yeah. dismissal
yeah.
of, you know, the podcast industry in the London areas,
yeah.
premier mm-hmm. trivia
he's
game.
He's referee Anthony Taylor and you're Jose Mourinho and the whole Roma bench
thought,
right now.
No, I'm Ferguson and he's Alan Wiley. I thought he was booking people just to have a rest. Jim Ferguson said that about Alan Wiley after
amazing.
A game once.
That was amazing.
He's giving people yellow cards just so he can have a rest. It's the most outrageous thing
Incredible.
To say. Anyway, but no, I thought there's no way Bournemouth can adjust their game. They're not going to adjust their game. They're going to play how they play.
Right.
They're going to play how they play in a worse fashion than Liverpool. And they're just tailor-made. It was almost a bit like a boxing match. You see different styles. That style's certainly made for that fighter. That fighter will find it easier against yes. that fighter. It felt a bit like that to me.
And when you've got players like Nunes to sort of be concerned with,
and he decides that he wants to score, because yeah. anything could happen, as we've said.
I mean, I love the second goal. It was a little bit unorthodox.
It was.
You just got to get it in the net. Mm. And he did.
It was on the outside of the wrong foot, basically.
Yeah, but it was beautifully controlled, though. Again, that's not a sort of a dismissive, oh, he was lucky with that. Not at all. Yeah.
Do you not think it could have gone anywhere, though?
No, because I think he controlled it that well. Mm. It was a little bit unorthodox, but that's what we've come to know and love about him, and it controlled. But I mean, Diogo Jota was brilliant as well. Yeah. We've got to mention him. A couple of goals, of course. Quite an enjoyable moment where he swings at one of them and the crowd goes, "Wee!" And he oddly sort of sets himself up and then just smashes it into the corner.
He has done. Okay, right.
He very much has done. Yeah. And with Salah's situation with Egypt, of course, he's injured. He's coming back to Liverpool for treatment. If Egypt do progress in the African Cup of Nations, then Salah could rejoin them if, of course, he's fit and provided that they go the distance. But you don't know with that injury. And if he is out for a little bit and he's missing from Liverpool, which, of course, he currently is, Jota's going to be even more important for them. And when he puts in a performance like that, you just think, bloody hell, they've got goals everywhere.
Are they going to get complacent because of that ahead of Wednesday, Marcus?
Let's hope so. Let's really, really hope so.
Fingers crossed, everyone here. Everyone's got to get behind it.
I know this is not the sort of thing one should say, but I wanted them all to get injured.
here's one for you, Marcus. Yeah, tell me if you accept this. Liverpool win the league,
yeah.
but Fulham win the League Cup.
Yeah, I could accept that.
Yeah, I see you might take that one, actually.
Yeah.
Not a Sophie's choice there. but Klopp, yeah, very pleased with his with certain individual performances. Now, there was a moment in the game Justin Kluivert studied Luis Diaz in the first half. Pugmul have said that VAR deemed it not to be a dangerous challenge. Some people were saying it could have been sending off. So that one didn't go. So Pugmul have replied to those.
Is there
letters.
A letter? Any kind of letter?
Yeah. Whoever gets the letter, you're duty bound to put it up on X.
A letter,
so we can all read it.
A letter written by Luis Diaz's broken foot.
Yeah.
The pen's between the big and the second toe.
It's the last thing you want to see with Klopp with all these injuries and suddenly a player does that to one of your players and you're like, come on.
But Klopp won't, Klopp will take it well. First of all, I'll go, what time was the game?
Yeah, right.
That's okay.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's fine.
We're there. But yes, of course, they do head to the Cauldron that is Craven Cottage on Wednesday.
And good luck.
Is it the biggest game of Fulham season?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So you
could even argue it's one of the biggest games of their recent history because it's the first time they've been in the semi of this competition and the first time they've been in the semi-final of a major domestic trophy.
So the biggest game since the Europa League final?
Well, in terms of cup competitions, then, and in major trophies, yes. I mean, you say playoff final was the most important game, obviously. But, you know, FA Cup final in the early noughties, other than that, yeah, I mean, the Europa League is there. Hence I use the word domestic. You've got to get it right.
But they're still in the tie, aren't they, crucially, which is what you want in the second one.
Still very much.
They are.
Yeah, they are in the tie. Yeah.
Why are you gripping the bit on your chair so tightly? We're still in the tie.
I just can't help but looking that Bournemouth played well and lost 4-0. Yeah. So I'll piss off.
Yeah.
Oh, dearie me. Right, everybody, turn our attention to something much more serious. There were disgraceful scenes in the Championship on the weekend, specifically at Hillsborough. Coventry City's Casey Palmer was the victim of a racist gesture from a group of Sheffield Wednesday fans. He came out with a statement, of course, and he did, you know, say, you know, this is a disgrace and so on. He was quick to say that a group of fans like that do not represent a whole fan base, which I think is fair. But yeah, not what we're going to say. And it's happened on the same weekend as an incident in Italy. Mike Maignan, the AC Milan goalkeeper, and his teammates walked off the pitch midway through the first half of a game against Udinese after he told the fourth official that he was hearing monkey noises from the crowd. The game was restarted after 10 minutes, but Maignan commented afterwards, saying, "I said we cannot play football like this. It is not the first time it has happened this way. They must hand out stronger sanctions because talking no longer does anything." Now, interestingly, a statement tweeted by FIFA, Gianni Infantino, called for action that goes beyond the current three-step process, in which players stop twice before a match is abandoned. Of course, that's a three-step process. And in the statement, he said, "We have to implement an automatic forfeit for the team whose fans have committed racism and caused the match to be abandoned, as well as worldwide stadium bans and criminal charges for racism." So FIFA have been mealy-mouthed before. On these kind
if
of
only
issues.
They're in a position to do something about it.
I did think that.
Why are you tweeting?
They should.
Why are you tweeting suggestions?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I wonder about this because is it in Infantino's power to implement this in club football? It's probably not, right? It goes down to the federation. So it is very easy for him to say this, but it also does represent a sea change.
I welcome the comments. I particularly enjoyed the tweet where someone quote tweeted it and said, "Terrible stuff. The worst person you know just made a great point."
Yeah.
And that's probably sums it up quite well. I welcome the statement. I just think it's very easy. And Jim, your point about FIFA and the club competition and UEFA and the power struggle that we always talk about between those two organisations is a really important one. Definitely one to be taken into account. But these guys, you know, whoever they are, if it's Infantino or Seferin or whoever, you know, these are the guys at the top of the industry. They're the guys who are getting paid the big bucks. They fly around all over the place, enjoy the lifestyle. Well, if you want the lifestyle, you've got to take the responsibility. Mm-hmm. And it reflects badly on everyone, particularly them, because they're in a decision-making power position.
Talk to each other.
I was particularly interested in Casey Palmer's statement, Marcus, for the reason you suggested, which is that, you know, he said, I don't have the exact wording in front of me, but he did mention that, you know, he doesn't think it's all fans. And that's an interesting point, because I do think there needs to be an element of collective responsibility.
Yes.
Here. You can't eradicate racism with this stuff. But what you can, of course, do is control the things that are within your power, which is to potentially eradicate it from the game. Now, what happens outside of the game in society generally is a far bigger problem. We know that. But you can at least control the things you can control. And if we were to foster a kind of idea of collective responsibility where, you know, a variation on what Infantino is saying, where, you know, you lose the game, that's it.
Yeah.
Control your fans or keep them away.
Yeah.
Then that would certainly help things. And I'll just end my point by saying that we can't lose sight of the fact that there is no exceptionalism when it comes to football. These are people, whether it's Casey Palmer, Mike Maignan, or whoever, these are people who have been racially abused at their place of work. It's illegal, and rightly so, in every other walk of life. It should be illegal or sufficiently illegal in football as well. And if it means that a bunch of teams have to lose a few points here and there, and a load of fans get pissed off because some of their fans are racist, good.
Well,
that's
a good
thing.
And I tell you something, I understand that people might say you can't pass the buck, it's got to be authorities, but for the reasons you just set out there, you can implement the rules.
It's gone too far already.
It has to be a collective responsibility.
And look at what damage Italian football had to do to itself to get out of Calciopoli and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Why aren't we getting sanctions like that? Why aren't we getting massive point deductions? Why don't we just shut the league for a season and go, well, it happens every week in Italy.
If you can't sort it, then this is what you have to do.
We're not doing it anymore.
It needs to be extreme, doesn't it? This is exactly it. It needs to be something really, really eye-catching that makes a huge, huge difference, whether that's teams forfeiting games, points deductions, teams having to play without their fans present in the stadium. It needs to be something really visible, yep. really extreme, because it is extreme, yeah. and it needs to be combated appropriately.
They do ban fans already, not for very long. It's definitely happened in international football quite a lot, hasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
The banning of fans, away fans or whatever.
Yeah.
It probably needs to be a little bit, it certainly needs to be more severe. But I think the fan ship has sailed, actually. I think you're not going to, clearly, just, I mean, the evidence for it is totally established. Like, you're not going to stop it happening by banning fans, because mm-hmm. every time, as soon as they come back, sure. they do it again. So it does need to be like, mm-hmm. oh, what's that? Your team's been relegated by 5 points.
Yeah.
Well, six of those points, mm-hmm. you got deducted for being racist. So why don't you ever look at that?
And some fans will understandably say, but that's so unfair. You know, like, you know, 30,000 other people didn't do this. But it's, you know, how often with so many things in society do we see a few people mean that these laws have to come in, that these yeah. societal changes have to come in? And
that happens generally in society.
That's
anyway.
What I mean, yeah. yeah. And so, yes, of course it would be an absolute sickener if you're watching your team and they, you know, nearly win the league or they go down. But you've got to stop this. This is bigger than football.
I also think, and this is potentially a little bit more fanciful, but just to put it out there as a little thought experiment, you know, I wonder actually if there is potential, and obviously it's not for me to decide or for me to say, and I think it obviously does put a lot of pressure on people who are the victims of racism, so it's not for me to kind of prescribe that, but yeah. I'm just putting it out as an idea. I wonder if like some kind of class action lawsuit by black players needs to happen, where they say, look, we're banded together, we are being racially abused at work, which is illegal, mm-hmm. and there are certain people responsible for this, and we're going to sue them. And I feel like in the US, if it was a similar situation in the US, I don't think you'd be too far away from that, because class action lawsuits and stuff like that are a lot more prevalent. That might be something that needs to happen, where, and it's not incumbent upon people who are the victims of something so horrific to have to take action, but they may feel like they need to. And if they band together and start taking like serious legal action against the decision makers in the game, that might accelerate change as well. But as I said, it can't be incumbent upon them to have to do it. It's up to them if they want to do it. This should be sorted out anyway without them having to do that.
And you got to remember that clubs' share prices rise and fall on the popularity of your club and the fan base. You sell your product as a fan base. And if your fan base is a racist product, then you are literally making money out of racism. So
I think as well with fan base, you know, with Palmer saying that statement about it, that doesn't sum up a fan base. You know, I think it would encourage other fans to kind of go, no, we don't want to be seen as that. You know, in Germany right now, we see all the far right stuff.
Yeah.
There are hundreds of thousands of people taken to the streets, essentially saying, you know, we're German and we don't want
this
that.
This ain't us, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, I think, you know, could see that from fans.
Sorry to interrupt, but that's because far more, that's in society, that happens a lot more now, because populist people, their kind of tactics are like, oh, we're just speaking for the people.
Yeah, exactly.
We're speaking for the side.
Well, you know you're not.
This is what everyone wants.
Yep.
And we've seen that with the Rwanda thing. They go say time and time again, oh, this is what the people want. Well, it isn't, because every poll you see is roughly split. Yeah. Like, so why are the other people not being heard? So it's really important that stuff goes on.
Yep.
I would also just add, finally, the technology absolutely exists for these people to be identified and banned from the stadium. And if you have to hire an extra two or three people at your club to make that happen every single week, make it happen.
So
that's the least you can do.
Yeah,
because the next step is, as we've talked about, it's just basically getting teams to forfeit games. And I totally agree that is the way forward.
Yeah. All right, let's have a quick break. Coming up in the second half, we've got a bit of controversy at Bramall Lane. Sad times for Roy Hodgson and a little mensch for Avram Grant. See you in a minute.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Lose Rian Brewster for two or three games. Is it one of those where you think not and David Moyes would probably say it is?
Yeah, I suppose exactly the same as I thought yes and other managers have said no. Listen, we'll possibly argue the toss over a beer in about 10 minutes.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Chris Wilder there.
Be a crap beer, that, wouldn't it? Be boring, I reckon.
Yeah, I loved it when he talked about the penalty, which was a clear penalty. He went, yeah, it's a clumsy challenge, nothing in it.
Well, there which is it?
There's a penalty.
Yeah, which is it?
Yeah. Well, thanks to friend of the Ramble, Ryan, for choosing that clip. You can become a friend of the Ramble too by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble.
I would just say Ryan is a very active member on the Ramble Discord as well.
We love him. Very
lovely to see his chat and great to see him contributing. And you should definitely join us over on there. There's lots of great stuff going on.
There is. Sheffield United 2, West Ham United 2.
Great game again.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
Fewer games seems to make for better games.
Yes. Let's cut the league in half.
Yes.
Or wherever Fulham are and above. It was a good game. Ollie McBurney scored in the 103rd minute, the latest goal on record to be scored in the Premier League since Opta started keeping records since 2006.
Very impressive, because it's probably a foul of the goalkeeper, right?
Well, it was a weird... I thought Areola...
Maybe foul is harsh.
I thought Areola was massively like egging it on.
He got a bit of a bloody nose, though. What?
I mean, so fair enough, but I mean, I don't think he needed to go off. I think he was deflecting massively.
Yeah, no, but he wanted to bring on Fabianski because he's got a good penalty record.
Let me tell you something. When I was at school, there was a kid called Brian Snowden, right?
Oh, good name.
And we were, I don't know what he's doing now. Sorry to name and shame him. But we were playing for the school team. And we were 1-0 up in a game. It was quite an important game. I can't remember why, but it was an important game at the time. It felt very important when you were at 14. And
you were playing Southampton.
He was playing. Yeah. Matt Letizia.
He got the equaliser. Yeah. He got a penalty. Yeah.
And Brian Snowden gave away a penalty in like very late on in the game. And the guy scored and we didn't win the game. Mm. He maintained that the reason he gave a penalty was because he twisted his ankle really bad and it wasn't his fault, right? It was a complete load of bullshit. Mm. But he followed that through for about 3 weeks at school afterwards. Crutches, everything.
No way.
He was perfectly fine.
Good.
It reminded me of what Areola did yesterday.
Are you sure he was definitely fine? Did you like definitely squeeze fine. His ankle at
I
one
kicked
point?
Him loads. He was absolutely fine.
Yeah. Definitely fine. Yeah. Well, it was...
That's what Areola did though, right?
Yeah.
He was embarrassed.
As I say, he had a bloody nose, so maybe that's, you know...
Are you saying he faked a bloody nose?
Yeah.
I'm saying Bert Trautman played with a broken neck. That's what I'm saying. No more questions.
Okay. And you have Sean Dyche over here.
Maybe me and Dyche will discuss it over a beer in about 10 minutes.
And Graeme Souness will join you. You'll have a lovely... Yeah. To be fair, actually, can I come?
For me, the cat's done nothing wrong there.
Right. Well, it was a vital equaliser for Sheffield United, of course. I mean, they need points. They are bottom of the league, 7 points from safety. So yes, to snatch a point so late was very important. I mean, just moments after that, Jarrod Bowen was quite clearly fouled, and that should have been a penalty.
My father-in-law could not even bring himself to tell me what had happened.
He's a West Ham fan. Right?
West Ham fan.
Yeah. And he can't speak. He's so angry.
I was goalless when I heard on the radio, and he went, "I'm not talking about it, Pete. I can't. I've never seen him so annoyed."
It was one of those decisions.
Next to meeting me for the first time.
Top three disappointments. Yeah.
I went, can't get any worse.
Number two is me bringing him a air fryer for Christmas and him not wanting it.
Yeah. Top five disappointments.
Never going to use it, Pete. Never going to use it. Take it back.
That Jared Bowen penalty decision. The other four are all meeting you.
Yeah, exactly.
But imagine he's having to talk about that Jared Bowen decision to Pete.
Yeah, it's on the list.
None of the other family like football.
It was a Bill Goldberg spearing. It really was. Solid stuff.
Do you guys agree with the following statement? If that wasn't in the final seconds after so much drama had happened already, it would have been given as a penalty.
I think there's an element of that.
You're just speculating. But the fact is, we know it. We don't know. It was a penalty.
If it's 0-0 after 25 minutes, VAR's all over that and they give it.
Right.
That's my contention.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, the controversy wasn't sort of lost on everybody. Arnel Ahmed Hodzic tweeted after saying TNT has edited the footage in their post-match analysis to make it look like a penalty.
I love it because he knows it's a penalty.
He's also a Sheffield United player, in case you don't know.
He's trying to get some heat off himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's basically shown a video with no edits whatsoever. There's not even a cut in it. It's like an industrial light and magic George Lucas type effort.
There's a Pruder footage.
There's a dinosaur in that footage.
I don't think he'll get in trouble with this because he's having to go at a broadcaster, but he's got to be careful.
Yeah. I mean, I would look at... I like it when kind of footballers that don't necessarily have a massive spotlight on them start tweeting mad stuff, because then you can just look at their likes. He likes a lot of Andrew Tate's stuff about women's smiles. Some anti-Greta Thunberg posts as well.
Of course. Okay.
He's basically tweeting like my dad.
And
he also posted about another footballer getting a woman pregnant. So I can't wrap my head around this degeneracy he liked.
What you're saying, he's underrated.
He's underrated. Keep an eye.
Once you again, actually say who he plays for.
Yeah.
Once again, there's a lot of good stuff on X.
Good stuff in his likes.
6 months before he's doing a chat on some particularly niche social media account with David Cotter and Matt Tissier.
Yeah.
With a tinfoil hat.
Joey Barton, maybe.
And the reason I retired is because... I felt like I was playing well, but when I watched it back, they clearly edited the footage.
Yeah.
The game's totally corrupt.
That's right.
I also say on this, I thought the second yellow for Soufal was quite harsh.
The referee had it in his mind, I think. I think he was like, this game's getting a bit crazy. I need to do
calm it down a bit by making it crazier.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, Rian Brewster was ascending off.
Though. Yeah.
That was very much the challenge.
Chris Wilder wasn't sure. But I was sure.
Everyone else was.
It's a shame for Rian Brewster. I mean, hark back to when he won the, was it the under-17s World Cup? Or the, I think it was.
Scorer there as well. He was very highly rated.
And look, not every player in that side will go on to dizzying heights of Premier League or even Championship, you would say. So we have to be realistic. He is playing in the Premier League and has scored goals in the Championship and so on.
I think also you've got to take into account his injury history as well.
Yeah,
he's found it tricky since he's left.
Well, as I say, I don't want to be too critical of him. But a player with great potential, and there's clearly a player in there.
I think we want to
be talking about him for different reasons other than a rash.
Absolutely,
red card.
But he has missed, I think, something like a year and a half with these really difficult hamstring problems.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was very much the challenge of a man who doesn't play football very much.
No, that's fair.
And he's picking up the pace of the game, coming off the bench, whatever. It was a dangerous one, and it was right that he got sent off. That's exactly the dictionary definition of why the laws of the game exist in that way.
Right.
He could have really hurt a player, and that's not what you want. He didn't really complain that much. He just sort of looked a bit like, oh God, another thing to deal with kind of thing, which I felt sorry for him for,
which I don't think
he meant to hurt anyone. But it's a penalty. It's a red card, and that's the end of it.
That's the end of it.
I would also just add that the Ben Brereton-Diaz goal, I mean, it's very early to say, and I just think he's got a bit of class about him, Brereton-Diaz.
I'm so pleased you said this, because
I wonder if he'd be key for them.
The touch to set himself
exactly.
up
is beautiful.
Under such pressure
and
such mayhem in the box, to just set himself, obviously the finish, you know, he couldn't miss the way the ball sits up. I thought it was actually a really underrated goal.
Yeah.
He's had such a funny career. Which sort of suddenly is from Chile.
Everyone loves referring to him as Chilean.
It's so unusual, and it's great, but it's the miss, though. His foot turned into
a dustpan.
That's the kind of thing, though, what I mean by when I said I think he's got a bit of class about him. Once he settles, he's only 24.
Yeah,
he's got like several international caps for Chile. He's playing at Villarreal. I know he's on loan at Sheffield United. I think this, to me, smacks of a story of like, he's there on loan. He starts scoring quite a lot. And I'm not saying Sheffield United will survive, because I don't think they will, but I think he might have almost like a hallmark second half of the season and be like, we need to get him on a perm because he's such a good player.
Yeah.
And I've also wanted to see him play on the top flight in England for a while because he's had so much heat on him. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to see him score, is what I'm saying.
Well, now you are, Luke Moore.
I am seeing
your wish is the Premier League's command.
I was just hoping that for his sake, that, you know, the the TNT Sports don't edit some of his stuff so that he scores fewer goals than
TNT.
I think Danny Ings might have got a few that they cut out.
This game actually finished 7-4.
Maxwell Cornet got his first for West Ham. You were slagging him off on Friday.
I was, yeah. Well, I just wanted to, you know, motivate him.
No one saw that coming. That cup performance was terrible.
Good to see him scoring.
If you looked up in the dictionary, who's going to score this weekend?
A lovely volley.
It would have said, not Maxwell Cornet.
Why are you looking for this info here?
True, yeah. It's a confused metaphor.
There were a lot of goals at Arsenal.
There were.
Arsenal got them all. 5-0, they beat Crystal Palace. Their title bid is back on track, Jim. Mm.
I actually only scored 4 goals, just scored one of them twice.
Right. Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was a replay. Yeah. It was like a minute later.
The Martinelli ones, yeah. So, I mean, Gabriel scored the first one. It was given as a Henderson own goal, but, I mean, it was a similar...
Yeah, that's a shame. Every time he touched the ball after that, everyone's going, shoot!
Yeah.
Jules took it from him. She broke the news to him on the telly.
He didn't seem to notice, though, did he?
He didn't care, I think.
No, I don't think he did. Well, as well as Mikel Arteta seeing Salt Bae, Arsenal apparently did do a lot of work with their set-piece coach during their warm-weather training in Dubai, and it's paying off.
Absolutely.
They've scored a lot of goals. I think they're...
Relying on set-pieces. Desperate Arsenal.
They're not proper goals, are they?
No,
they're not real.
I mean, they've scored the most in the Premier League this season.
They have, and they were pretty good at it last season as well. They've been a bit shakier in at defending set-pieces this season than last season. Hopefully that will, you know... That will improve as well. Palace aren't the sort of best test for that because they were, you know, Ezra aside, they were pretty poor. Didn't really create much, to be honest. But I have to say, they weren't really at their best, to be honest.
No,
Palace was just very, very passive. What's happened a lot at the Emirates is teams have come and set up to defend, essentially, to try and frustrate Arsenal, and that has worked a few times in terms of making it seem like we don't know how to score goals. Palace didn't do that, or if they tried to do it, it wasn't evident, and they were just a really, really accommodating opponent, really, to be honest.
But it was a training ground.
It was really encouraging to see goals from open play again, and just they were faster as well. Said recently that the speed of attacks has been quite slow from Arsenal this season. It's a bit quicker this time. It's a bit more fluent. I know it seems like a really obvious thing to say, but it really looks like that break did them well. Maybe there is something to Salt Bae. Mm. I think Ben White recharges in the sun, as we know.
Seasoning their football. Good.
Yeah. I like the fact that they're scoring from set plays because, you know, it's, are you watching Tony Pulis?
Exactly.
You know, it was often there.
It's good to see Tony Pulis still having an influence on Arsenal.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. He very much so. Yeah. Very much so.
I think on the Palace side of it, Marcus,
yes,
can I talk about them for a second?
Of course you can.
Because they're an interesting case, I think. You know, there's no talk of them kind of breaching PSR rules or you know, having an issue financially. Steve Parrish is like some kind of gatekeeper there. You get the impression he's kind of stopping these big American investors spending loads of money. They're obviously improving their stadium currently.
And their training facilities and so on. There was a recent interview with him. He's walking around.
All that stuff's been invested in.
It's all pretty impressive.
Yeah. And I think really they prioritise Premier League safety over everything else, don't they? And obviously they've made those decisions that you guys talked about a bit on Friday. I do feel a bit sorry for Roy because...
Oh, that was sad to see.
It is sad. Mm. And I think, you know, he grew up in the area, right? He's clearly got an affinity with the club. He's doing his best. And he's doing his best because they brought him in to do his best because it wasn't going as they wanted.
I think that's why the banner was not really... Yeah, it's indirect
right,
at Roy.
Right, and I think that's important to say that because, you know... You can't bring Roy Hodgson in and then get annoyed that he's doing things that Roy Hodgson does.
Yeah.
And they do need to answer this kind of succession question because it's not going to be an option. I don't want to be morbid about it, but you can't be doing this with Roy in 10 years. Mm-hmm. You need to work it out, which is why I would be very, very happy to link Southampton manager Russell Martin with the job.
There you go.
Officially, I've had a lot of rumours that he's really interested in going to the Premier League. Uh-huh. And if it doesn't happen this year for Southampton, he's definitely off.
I think...
And he plays great football, by the way. And the reason Crystal Palace fans should love him is because... They are on a record-breaking run at Southampton. He plays ridiculous football. He always has done.
Nice for you to give Southampton
He's got
a bit of credit.
Great philosophy. I'm giving Russell Martin credit.
You're giving the Saints a credit.
Southampton are coming along as part of the deal. Temporarily. It's a necessary evil.
It'd be difficult to get him now, wouldn't it? It's difficult to know what
end
direction.
End of the season, Jim.
Difficult to know what direction to go in, though.
Southampton go out in the playoffs, Jim. And Russell goes.
Right. But before that happens, I think the smart thing to do, given that it's now got really stale under Roy Hodgson, is kind of hark back to the past, let Roy retire, immediately rehire him, and then it'll just refresh.
You get rid of a free months out of it.
Yeah.
It's like turning the computer off and on again.
Yeah.
running Windows Defender on it.
Fragmenting it. Do you want to give your press conference saying you're resigning?
Yeah, okay, there we go.
Right, Roy, do you want to go around the back?
Yeah.
Come and give a door.
Here he is.
Roy, you must be delighted.
Well, Jules Breach did the post-match. She had a wonderful sore throat. And I think Roy, who has been quite arrogant and quite angry and quite defensive over a few weeks, I think he was... What?
Mark is not happy with that.
Carry on. I think nobody else could have steered what could have been quite a feisty interview through those choppy waters.
Yeah, Jules is the best.
Also, she's like a mouse, so. I do. Roughly the size of a mouse.
Yeah, it's true, actually. So Roy can't...
Dangerous. Yeah. But you're right, Roy wasn't as defiant in the post-match.
No, he wasn't.
Interview,
no.
As he has
I mean, he
been.
Couldn't be. They lost 5-0. Yeah. It would have been funny if he was.
It would have been 6 if we hadn't set up like I wanted them to.
I find, one thing I would say is I understand the Palace fans are upset about stuff that maybe isn't necessarily related to Roy, who's much more a symptom than a cause. Mm. But I wonder about the timing of that banner, because I mean, you are playing Arsenal away.
Yeah. Well, there is
I know
that.
They wrapped their hand in, and it was a little bit embarrassing towards the end. But I mean,
they knew they were going to get hammered, though.
Yeah, so we definitely lose this one. So we'll take it along.
It's probably because it's on TV, right?
Yeah,
I guess. I know a couple of Palace fans who were a little bit vocal on X, and
some of my best friends are Palace fans.
There you are. Yeah. One of them.
So my best friends are on X.
Incidentally, one of them we all know, and we're saying actually, our fans could be quite embarrassing at times.
Right. Okay. Mm.
So I wonder how much. I mean, clearly, as Hodgson himself said, you know, the situation in the league is not good. They are only 5 points above Luton in 15th place. You know, they have to be looking over their shoulders now, which is a situation they wouldn't want to be in. There's chat about, you know, are they getting the best out of Elise Iheanacho and whatnot. These are things that they're going to have to address pretty quickly. But I think, and of course, Palace fans are thinking, do we have to wait until the summer until this? You know, hopefully we survive and play perhaps a drab football. The best thing is, of course, is an upturn in form, win a few matches and think, okay, let's get the best of what Hodgson can offer to steady the ship, as we always say with Hodgson, get them through to summer and whatnot, because I don't think they're going to gamble with managers. I think that they probably will stick with Hodgson.
Jim, you said on Friday you weren't sure about that. You thought,
I'm not sure about it. I think it's getting to the point now where it might be that they might start to panic, essentially, because they're only sliding in one direction, right?
And it's also quite an interesting juxtaposition that you've got two players there, Eberechi Eze and Michael Olise. Mm. You know, there's no other team of that profile who gets so much transfer interest in some attacking players than they do. Mm-hmm. Yet they just do not score goals. Like, I mean, the team just don't score goals. Yeah. Like I think they're the second lowest scoring team in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. Yet they've got all this heat on their players, attacking players. You know, it's a very, very strange situation. It must be because of the way they play.
Yeah, only Burnley and Sheffield United have scored a few goals.
There you go. Third lowest.
I guess it's because they're two very eye-catching players, but they're also young, right? So their end product is extremely.
I think it's the system, Jim.
To...
I think it's the system. I think you look at. I know they're away from home at Arsenal, so maybe it's not the best example. What they have, like 30% possession. Mm. By definition, it's going to be hard to do anything.
And also, they really did. They seem to relinquish possession quite.
Oh, they wrapped their hand. They wrapped their hand.
Well, things need to improve at Palace. There's no.
They couldn't even beat Chelsea.
No two ways about that, gentlemen. Let us go abroad, the Africa Cup of Nations. Wonderful stuff that Cape Verde became the first team to progress to the last 16 on Friday with a 3-0 win over Mozambique. And that former Manchester United man, Bebe, has been at the heart of it. He's whacking them in.
I couldn't believe it was him.
This is glorious.
Free kick from 50 yards out.
Oh, it was outside the stadium, Jim. He looped it over the walls into the goal. I mean, there was another goal. I think I forget who scored it. It wasn't Bebe. It was an absolute rifle. They've got their plan. It's basically whack them in from 30 yards out, and it's working. They're through.
I saw that from the side on, and I looked at the keeper and I thought, that must have moved. Saw it from behind, it hasn't done.
No,
that's the bluff.
It was the last minute.
If
he just crossed his arms. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Is this goes straight to the side? The keeper's going to go, right, wait for the movement, wait for the. Oh, no.
If I'm going to be kind, I'll say the goalkeeping approach to that free kick from the Mozambique goalkeeper, you won't find in any textbook. It was a big Pav messaged me when it went in, so I'd have chested that down.
We did. Not everyone has a chest of the size
Big Pav's chest there takes up most of the goal.
It does.
But you don't want to take it away from Bebe, do you? Because he's actually an interesting
story. I'm not
taking
anything away from Bebe. And it's glorious. And Pete, Cape Verde, your side.
The Blue Sharks, they're the first team to qualify.
They are.
Didn't see that coming.
No.
Can I just add that with Cape Verde, it's an even more interesting story because they lose so many players who just go on and do So players who would have been eligible for to play for mm-hmm. them, yeah. who just don't play for them. Mm. The list is mad. Like Nani, Henrik Larsson. Mm. Patrick Vieira, I think, might be one of them. Gelson Fernandez, mm. who went to go and play for Switzerland. There's loads of players who could have gone and played for Cote d'Ivoire, but they don't. And that makes their story even more impressive.
I think Vieira was Senegalese, wasn't he?
He could have played for Cape Verde. Right, he was eligible. He's never going to do it. Yeah, that's not the point I'm making, but he could have played for them.
Tanzania drew 1-1 with Avram Grant, Zambia.
That's a beautiful sentence in 2024.
He's a Portsmouth alumnus, I'm saying this under advice.
Here we go.
He looks bad.
With the emphasis on the word vice.
He looked bad anyway, didn't he?
But Pete, imagine how bad you think he can look.
Yeah.
Turn up a couple of notches. Right. That's what he looks like. Well, he looks like he smoked 100 a day for 20 years.
If he keeps staying up that late, you know, that's not
he looks so tired.
He looked tired in the early noughties.
Yeah.
Well, he got a yellow card for dissent after his captain was sent off. So still good to see that he's got a bit of the fire. Jim's just showed us a picture of him. Yeah. He does look like a baddie from a new Star Wars film.
100%.
Now, Tanzania, who drew with, as they're now known, Avram Grant Zambia, were hoping to progress despite sacking their managers just one game into the tournament.
Has that ever happened before in this national tournament?
What happened with Lopetegui, maybe?
Oh!
Or was that
Lopetegui?
But that was very close to it, wasn't
it? Though, wasn't
Yeah, that was like, you know, the team sheets were in.
It's quite rogue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, so, the reason why...
emotionally led.
But there is a reason why, though, because Tanzania were beaten...
They lost a game?
Well, no, listen.
All right.
They were beaten 3-0 by Morocco, and the manager, Adel Amrouchi, then claimed that they held too much sway over African football and that Morocco were influencing the selection of referees. So the CAF banned him for 8 games.
Oh, fair enough. He's basically fired anyway.
Yeah, so Tanzania initially suspended him, and then they thought... What's the point of this?
Let's get rid.
Is that right? Oh, no, he's...
Is it particularly fun, this tournament, this time round? I think it is, somehow.
It does seem a little bit. I think...
The
previous tournament, when Senegal won, I just remember Egypt being very stodgy.
Yeah. The tournament was fairly like that for most of it.
It was, yeah. But you get tournaments like
that. The Salah versus Mane final.
Yeah,
that's what it was billed as, wasn't it?
That's right.
It was a bit boring in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm. But we're nearly there at the knockouts, you know, the business end of the tournament. So, yeah, all eyes on that. Right, before we go, everybody, we've got a Derek Adams update.
Now, what's he been up to? I wonder.
Well, you might remember before Christmas, we checked in with Ross County manager Derek Adams, who after a month in the job said, he wouldn't pay to watch his own players. He was heavily critical. I think he'd come from, was it League One or League Two in England? And he was like, the standard here is so much
League
more.
Two. It was League Two. Yeah.
He was like, the standard here is so much poorer than it is in League Two in England. Well, this weekend, he took it up another level after they lost 3-0 to Partick Thistle in the Scottish Cup. Here's Derek Adams.
How big a job have you got to turn things around here at County, and you've been in the door a little while? Is the job a bigger one that you've taken on than you perhaps first thought?
Yeah, I think that when you always go into a job, you have an idea of what you've got to do, but when you delve further into things, then it becomes even, you know, bigger, and that's the difficulty when, you know, sometimes you don't do enough homework on it.
What you're saying, people listening to you might be thinking that if you'd done a bit more homework and seen what you would have to work with here, that you might have actually had second thoughts about coming here.
Yeah, I think you've got to look at that. Yes, you know, I think that if you looked at, you know, some of the basic things or not so basic things in Delft, then you know there's a lot of things that need to be improved.
Like what?
Listen, I'm not going to dwell too much into it tonight. You know, I think you know, that would be not professional of me.
That would be unprofessional
that
of me.
That may have sailed.
Yeah. Derek. He's definitely got something in his mind, hasn't he?
Yeah. This lot of crap. I can't believe the standard. Yeah, you're right. If I'd have known the situation, I probably wouldn't have taken the job. Anything in particular, well, that would be unprofessional.
Yeah. You're thinking about, Derek, you're thinking about how you're going to get, you know, really ride the players around and see how you can kind of turn things around after another 3-0 win at home. Yeah, I'll probably just tell the press that I don't want the job anyway.
That'll sort it. The main value here is actually one of a cautionary tale.
Yes.
The real lesson here is the friends we met along the way.
Think of my mistakes as like a biblical story.
Yeah. That's right. They had to Celtic this weekend.
Yeah, oh, good. If only he was in the position to do something about it. They haven't won in the last five.
I find it extraordinary that he still has the job, being so critical.
Got a point at Tynecastle, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
So, yeah, it's not all bad. Not all bad.
Not all bad at all.
They're also above Livingston in the table. How about Livingston taking this? This guy says none of his players are any good. Yeah. You're 7 points below him.
Managed by an internet troll. Still above us.
Oh, there we are, everybody. Right, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Myself and Luke are back tonight for Ramble Reacts after Brighton versus Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Goals versus Wolves.
Yeah, it's exciting that. Seagulls versus bath. Wolves could be a massacre.
Mm. Yeah, let's hope Wolves do get a penalty so Gag O'Neill's happy.
Yeah, so all the Seagulls peck the Wolves to death.
There we are. Do follow us on Twitter, currently known as X, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube, at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you, Luke.
Thanks.
Thank you, Pete.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Jim.
Cheers.
Thank you, everybody. See you later.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.